Hey friends, I wanted to take a minute to share with you about one of our new partners, Five Lakes Coffee. For 20 years, Five Lakes has been helping people discover the magic of fresh roasted coffee. They craft roast in small batches, then ship direct so that you are getting the freshest and best tasting coffee. Five Lakes uses the highest quality specialty grade coffee beans from around the world. And let me tell you, we're kind of coffee snobs in my family, and their coffee has converted even my daughter, who is a barista. As a family-owned and family-friendly company, I love their mission. As believers, our family loves supporting other Christian companies, and one of the things I absolutely love about this company is that they believe in loving their neighbors, and they value being good stewards of what God has given them. My two favorites are the signature Five Lakes blend and Chris's blend, because for Chris's blend, they donate $1 per bag to Forgotten Children's Ministry in Honduras. And guess what? As a podcast listener, you get an exclusive 20% off your first order when you use the code Hearing Jesus. Head over to fivelakes.com and experience the joy of fresh roasted goodness today. Again, head to fivelakes.com and use code Hearing Jesus for 20% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Dinah's story is one that's kind of hard to read, and we don't know a lot about her from scripture. But I think that if we just listen in and we think through some of the concepts we learn in her story, we'll see ourselves in it and we'll have an understanding of God's character and God's nature, despite the mistakes that we see made in her story. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl. Today we are continuing our Women of the Old Testament series with the story of Dinah. And if you're not familiar with Dinah, well, then this is the perfect episode for you. And if you're just joining us, I would encourage you to go back to the beginning of the series and work your way through. These episodes are not going anywhere. It's evergreen content, so you can just go at your own pace. And then if you want to dive a little bit deeper, on our Patreon page, we have journaling prompts that go along with each episode, because I don't know about you, but for me, journaling is one of those things that helps me get the information from my head to my heart. And so the links for all of that are in the show notes. And so today's story comes from Genesis chapter 34. I'm going to read starting at verse 1. It says, "Now Dinah, the daughter Leah had born to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. When Shechem, son of Hamor, the Hivite, the ruler of that area, saw her, he took her and raped her. His heart was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob. He loved the young woman and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father Hamor, 'Get me this girl as my wife.' When Jacob heard that his daughter Dinah had been defiled, his sons were in the fields with his livestock, so he did nothing about it until they came home. Then Shechem's father Hamor went out to talk with Jacob. Meanwhile, Jacob's sons had come in from the fields as soon as they heard what had happened. They were shocked and furious because Shechem had done an outrageous thing in Israel by sleeping with Jacob's daughter, a thing that should not be done. But Hamor said to them, 'My son Shechem has his heart set on your daughter. Please give her to him as his wife. Intermarry with us, give us your daughters, and take our daughters for yourselves. You can settle among us. The land is open to you. Live in it, trade in it, and acquire property in it.' Then Shechem said to Dinah's fathers and brothers, 'Let me find favor in your eyes, and I will give you whatever you ask. Make the price for the bride and the gift I am to bring as great as you like, and I'll pay whatever you ask of me. Only give me the young woman as my wife.' Because their sister Dinah had been defiled, Jacob's sons replied deceitfully as they spoke to Shechem and his father Hamor. They said to them, "We can't do such a thing. We can't give our sister to a man who is not circumcised. That would be a disgrace to us. We will enter into an agreement with you on one condition only, that you become like us by circumcising all your males. Then we will give you our daughters and take your daughters for ourselves. We'll settle among you and become one people with you. But if you will not agree to be circumcised, we'll take our sister and go." Their proposal seemed good to Hamor and his son Shechem. The young man, who was the most honored of all his father's family, lost no time in doing what they said because he was delighted with Jacob's daughter. So Hamor and his son Shechem went to the gate of their city to speak to the men of their city. "These men are friendly towards us," they said. "Let them live in our land and trade in it. The land has plenty of room for them. We can marry their daughters and they can marry ours, but the men will agree to live with us as one people only on the condition that our males be circumcised as they themselves are. Won't their livestock, their property, and all their other animals become ours? So let us agree to their terms and they will settle among us." All the men who went out of the city gate agreed with Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male in the city was circumcised. 3 days later, while all of them were still in pain, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and attacked the unsuspecting city, killing every male. They put Hamor and his son Shechem to the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and left. The sons of Jacob came upon the dead bodies and looted the city where their sister had been defiled. They seized their flocks and herds and donkeys and everything else of theirs in the city and out in the fields. They carried off all their wealth and all their women and children, taking as plunder everything in the houses. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have brought trouble on me by making me obnoxious to the Canaanites and Perizzites, the people living in this land. We are few in number, and if they join forces against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed." But they replied, "Should he have treated our sister like a prostitute?" So that's a lot, and I know it's a lot. We're going to break it down a little bit here. You know, the name Dinah means justice, and if I'm honest, when I first read this story, or multiple times that I had read this story, I actually really enjoyed it. I liked that her brothers stood up for her. But as I've gotten older, and as I've learned more about the covenant and the Old Testament and the way things were supposed to be done, and the culture at the time, I've had a little bit of a difference in my opinion of it now. I think there were some mistakes that were made in the story, without a doubt. I think, first of all, we have to consider where they were. They were settled outside of the city of Shechem. And Jacob, Dinah's dad, he did avoid contact with that city. But the reality is that he should have gone back to Bethel, but instead he stayed near Shechem. And so initially, the fact that they even were where they were was mistake number one. And you know, I think that does say something about our responsibility as parents. And perhaps you're not somebody that has children yet, but for those of us that do, there's a concept that I think we see here. Our mistakes have consequences for our children. And while he was doing his best to kind of avoid the sin that was going on in that city, he knew he wasn't where he was supposed to be. And that had consequence, drastic consequence, that all could have been avoided if Jacob had been following God and God's plan in the first place. So that's the first mistake, I think, that was made. And then Dinah, who is the daughter that Leah had with Jacob, it says that she went out to visit the women of the land. I want to think through this too for a minute as well. Dinah at this time was about 14 or 15 years old. And she likely knew that it was dangerous for her to do that because Rebecca and Sarah had both been taken by Abimelech and Pharaoh, leaders in that land, because typically in that culture, what would happen is men at that time would just take a woman if they wanted her. And while it wasn't culturally unacceptable for a woman to go around alone, there clearly was consequences for that. And so she knew, just based off of the stories in her family, that she shouldn't go alone. But she wanted friends. She was the only girl in this whole brood of boys. And the women of that city would have looked different. They would have wore different clothes. They would have sounded different. She was curious. Many scholars believe that at the time that she went, it was during one of the city's pagan festivals. So that, again, is something exciting happening that was just too much for her to resist. Now, I don't know if you have any teenage daughters. I do, but I also was a teenager. I know firsthand what curiosity feels like at that age, and you're just at that tip of the iceberg where you're just about an adult, and you think that you know everything. You think that you got it all figured out. You think you're going to be fine. But what we realize is that she did not fully understand the danger that those boundaries were keeping her from. And so that is the second mistake we see in Dinah's story. And then we learn that the prince saw her and he just had to have her. She was young, she was alone, and he took advantage of her. What's interesting, I think, is Jacob's response when he finds out what had happened. Because years later, when Joseph appears to have been killed by wild animals, Jacob grieves, and his grief is terrible. It's overwhelming. He tears his clothes, he wails, he refuses to be comforted. But in this situation where his daughter is raped and taken advantage of, he doesn't do anything. He just sits. He's quiet. It says he keeps his counsel until his sons came back. I, as a parent, that grieves me, thinking about something happening to one of my daughters. There's no way you could hold my husband back. And so I honestly feel like that was mistake number three. Instead of waiting for his sons, he should have acted immediately.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.
And then what we see is Dinah's story unravels a bunch of consequences that lead to mistakes number 4 through 10, basically. It caused her brothers to really do a lot of stuff. They abused circumcision, which in that time frame, circumcision represented the covenant to the Lord. It was the sign of the covenant. And they tricked and they murdered and they basically decimated an entire people group of Shechem. And then on top of that, Simeon and Levi, her brothers, took away Canaanite women, again, violating what God's plan was for them as God's chosen people of Yahweh. And then what we end up seeing is Simeon and Levi were cursed instead of blessed when Jacob died. There's a lot there. And I think through the different times in my life where I myself have been tempted to act like that when there's an opportunity for justice. Now, I am not saying in any way, shape, or form that this did not need to be dealt with. It absolutely did. But I think there's a difference with the way that her brothers acted and the way that God would have us act in similar situations. I get the feeling of wanting to be a justice warrior and deal with things on our own terms. And I don't think that their initial reaction was a sin, because we know anger is not a sin, especially righteous anger. Righteous anger is not a sin. It's how we handle that anger. And that's often where we get in trouble. So as much as this is Dinah's story, it's also her brother's story, because her brothers just let their emotions get ahead of themselves. And you know, I have to think back during a time in my own life, and I'm not going to share all the details here, but I myself, at a very young age, 15 years old, made some mistakes, and I went somewhere that I should not have gone. And I found myself in a very similar situation to Dinah, almost verbatim. And when my father found out about it, he did nothing. And as much as I don't like the response to the place that her brothers took it, in some ways it feels better than the response of her father, who sat there and did nothing. Her father, who was responsible to care for her, to protect her, to not put her in that position in the first place, he did nothing. And so the lesson there, I think, is as parents or even as adults that are responsible for other people, that there is some responsibility on him. But then the flip side is, and even in my own story, when it came time for justice, it went too far. And I'm not saying, and it's not like that happened in my story, but I'm not saying that there shouldn't have been consequence. They shouldn't have reacted. Instead, what I think we need to look at is the response of Jesus. Because I think when we see Jesus get angry in the New Testament, he doesn't sin. Is he angry? Yes. Is there a level of righteous anger? Yes. But he never sins. And in fact, instead of taking somebody else's life, he laid down his own life for us so that we could have justice through him. And I think about different times where I have been involved in different similar situations. You know, I've long worked in the area of anti-trafficking, and I've long been burdened by the things, the atrocities that have been committed against God's daughters across the globe. And as a justice warrior myself, I would be lying if I said I didn't want to kill everybody in the city. I mean, that's the reality of the anger that I have felt. But instead, I've committed myself to advocacy and to holistic programs for survivors and trauma counseling and all the things that we know that have been proven to need to be in place for survivors. And more than that, prevention, boundaries, education, all the things that go into the prevention aspect of things. It's not that my flesh doesn't want to act in that way, but the long-term benefits and the long-term results of responding instead of reacting is really what we're after. And so I think the lesson here is a couple things. I think the first lesson is to think before you act. And I think that's true for both Dinah and for her brothers, and also for her dad. Maybe ask yourself, what are the long-term consequences of my decision right now? And whether it's an impulsive decision like Dinah to go out and try to meet some new friends, or if it's the revenge decision to kind of avenge her name, both of those were done without thinking through the long-term consequences. They were based in emotion instead of the concreteness of God's word. And so God's word should always be the lens of how we make decisions before we act. The other thing I think we need to make sure is that not only as individuals, but also as parents, we're guarding our children, or we're guarding ourselves and helping them develop the right kinds of friends. Because really, all of this started was really because Dinah was longing for female friendship. She was longing to go see the women in the city. And then when something does happen, we need to temper our zeal, right? We need to surrender our anger to the Lord. It's not that we don't get angry. We absolutely get angry. But instead of reacting, we respond. So that's where going back to this idea of thinking through the consequences. We don't just react, we respond. Because when we respond, we surrender our emotions to God and we ask for wisdom when we say, God, how would you have me respond? Because I can guarantee that the way that Jesus, or in this scenario, and the way that God, Yahweh, would have had them respond would have been different than what they did. The way that Jesus calls us to respond is different than how me, Rachel, wants to respond. And in perfect honesty, you know, there was a time where I was face to face with a young girl, 11 years old, who had been sold into essentially sexual slavery in an African country by her father. And she had already birthed a child at that age because of that lifestyle that she was sold into. And the fire in me, I literally, I'm Italian and Irish, well, Scottish, if you look at my ancestry.com results, the fire that it lit in me, I would be lying if I said I didn't want to murder her father. And I didn't want to murder every man that took advantage of that poor baby girl. And if I had reacted, even to the man that was making money off of her that owned the brothel, If I would have reacted, I would have ended up myself in a very dark place, which would have been an African prison. I would have never been able to see my own children again or my husband again. It would have ruined any ministry that I had had. And so I had to really think through my actions. What would the consequences of my actions be? So instead, I responded. Instead, we purchased her freedom and we took her to a different part of the country and we taught her a trade and a skill and she learned how to make dresses. And when you go back to visit her, what you see is this beautiful woman who has developed this sewing business that is now used to fund getting other girls off the street. That is the picture of the gospel. That is redemption. That is responding instead of reacting. And actually, some of our team on the ground started to develop a relationship with the owner of that brothel. And that brothel is actually now no longer a brothel. Now it's a home and it's a place where they have Bible studies in that community. And the owner of the brothel has become the pastor. It is this beautiful picture of redemption that happens when we allow the Lord to have his way instead of our human emotion. And so as we think of Dinah's story, as hard as it is because it's a reflection of my own story, I have to think through the way the Lord has worked things out in my own life. It doesn't erase the pain. And that's, I think, the thing that's hard when you are a justice warrior like I am. If you have a tendency to feel that way, it's almost as if we don't react, then maybe we are saying that it's okay. It's not. Instead, what we're doing is we're asking the Lord to come into those situations and those circumstances because he has the best plan in mind. Now, it's not that that's easy. It takes a lot of work to walk in forgiveness. It takes a lot of work to work through the pain and the trauma. I know. I lived it. I know. But when we respond instead of react, we are surrendering that pain to the Lord and allowing him to do something beautiful that only he can do with it. So that's my prayer for you today, that if you have something that you're struggling with, an area that you're struggling with, or, you know, for many of us, maybe even if we haven't had something yet, there are things in the news cycle on a daily basis that aggravate us to the point where we want to react. I would encourage you to think through the consequences of your actions and to ask for the Lord to give you the strategy on how to respond. Let's pray. God, we thank you for Dinah's story, as hard as it is to read, as hard as it is to stomach. And Lord, I pray for those that may be infuriated to the point of wanting to react when we hear something like this. Lord, I pray that you would help our righteous anger to be tempered in a way that brings you glory, that instead of the destruction that the enemy would want for our lives, that we would be able to look to you and surrender those things to you, as painful as they are, because we know that we can trust you, that because of Jesus, because Jesus laid down his life for us, because of justice, we know that we can trust you with even the painful parts of our stories or the stories of those around us. God, I thank you that you don't leave us alone to learn how to deal with these things, but that you give us wisdom and discernment, and you speak to us through your word, through your Holy Spirit, to give us wisdom and strategy. God, I thank you and I praise you in that. In Jesus' name, amen. The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my Bible study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today.
Hey friends, if this podcast helps encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.